Mr. Jewett, Reel 24. So you decided then to leave the Navy. What was the process of leaving?
Yes, well, I had to put a report in requesting my discharge. Oh, by the way, we did get paid war bonus, by the way. You know, we got a war bonus. They paid us, I think, £100, £98 or something like that, war bonus. Some people went out and made a fortune out of that. But I was stuck. I was a 12-year man. I had a long way to go. And the three things which were the favoured were the police service, the mines, and heavy industry.
Can I just ask you, before you launch into that, how much did it cost you to buy your...
£36. I had to pay £36, and I had to have a job. I had to have the job first, and then the job which I had... Well, so I came to Newcastle, and I got a job, went to the police station there, because I've always been impressed by Newcastle. And I went and got my job, papers, and I said that I had to get a job, and I got a medical examination and the educational examination was about second year infant school. I think it was a bloody idiot an idiot could have passed it, let alone anything else. And I took the education examination, went in front of the with a lot of other servicemen in a single day, and they sold us, went before the chief constable. They said, well, we can offer you a post and that. So I said, well, you'll have to refer this to the Admiralty. And I went down, put my report in, said I'd had obtained this post with Newcastle as a police constable, probationary police constable with Newcastle City Police. And in due course, my discharge came through, and I was told on such a day I would be enrolled in the Royal Fleet Reserve as a petty officer, gunnery instructor, for which I would be paid. They paid me so much, about £7 a quarter, I think it was, and on the paid reserve, the Royal Fleet Reserve, for the next 5 years or so. More than that, was 7 years. I was 23, yes, it was nearly 7 years. So I then went to York, where the place where I was issued with civilian clothes, etc., etc. But I was not allowed any counselling or anything like that, because I was a different ball game. I was Class B release. I was different to the HOs. They got counselling, job counselling, all the rest of it. I didn't. I had to get the job first. And as I said, I could have been a miner or whatever, but I chose to be a policeman. That's how I became a policeman.
What date was this that you left the Navy?
It was the 7th of July. It's on the 7th of July, 1947. The 7th of July, yeah. Yeah, the day I left the police service, the Navy, was the 5th of July, 1947, and I stayed on the Royal Fleet Reserve until the 20th of August, 1953. Now, the funny thing is, the Navy's very cunning. Not many people know that although your date is always a day before your actual date, so that you always owe them a day. One day you owe them. They let you out the day before, and it's dated here, the day before you're actually released. It's dated here. So that at any time they want you, you owe them a day to go and serve that day. And once you've done that, boy, oh, you try and get out once you're in. Because in that day, you're weighed, blessed, shaved, shaving, kitted up, and probably on your way to Gibraltar before the following day. So that is the way the Navy works. It occurred to me, I thought, that's funny, I came out of that day. They're a day out. They weren't a day out, the blighters. They knew damn fine what they were doing.
So but you came out and joined the police force. You were telling me that there was some problems when you joined the police force between those who had been in the...
I joined the police force in good faith, and I had a lot of training. I was been in charge of men. I'd been for since the age of 19, I'd been in charge of men, and I thought that I had a glittering career in front of me. Oh, but I'm afraid I did not know the vagaries of civilian life. What had happened during the war was, I didn't know then, that all these policemen that were behind were not in reserve occupations. They had to apply every 6 months for deferment of call-up, which is a very different thing. And they kept, they were people who I didn't despise, but I didn't sort of thought weren't as good as I was, of people who had been away fighting, because I joined up with paratroopers and all sorts of things, and commandos and paratroopers, and my another yeoman of signals joined the police force with me, and he promptly left. I met him in the toilet at Pilgrim Street Police Station, and he came from Norwich. He said, "I'm going back to Norwich, Fred." He says, "My wife comes from Shields." He says, "But I'm not stopping here." He says, I said, "What for?" He said, "Well, you've either got to be a Roman Catholic or a Freemason." He says, "And I'm neither." I said, "Well, that goes for me as well." And he was a petty officer, same as I was. I said, "Well, that goes for me as well." He says, "This is a waste of time for us." Well, I said, "Oh, well, I stuck it out," because he was in another division to me. He wasn't. We'd asked us. His name was Frank Rustling. That was his name. And we'd asked to be together, but they'd put him in the East End and me in the West. Well, I quickly realised, of course, that there was an undercurrent of animosity to people like me, who'd had a bloody war, who'd been away fighting the war. And all these inspectors and chief inspectors and superintendents and whatever had all got their promotions during the war while other people were away. And there were some policemen who did go away, who didn't bother applying for, and they became Royal Marines and all sorts of things, but not a lot of them. And I realised, of course, now, as in time, I passed my examinations for inspector and for everything else, and I got nowhere. I was lucky to. In fact, could you stop that a second? Mm. Yes, well, I joined the police service because I thought here was an opportunity to make my way. I had a good war record, a good war service, and I'd done extremely well in the Royal Navy, and there was no reason why I shouldn't do so and I was anticipating a commission in the Navy. But there was and I passed my education, ET1, ET2, etc. in the Royal Navy. Well, I came into the police service and I found that the examinations were extremely easy. There's been blunt about it. I found the police duties examination for sergeant and for later on for inspector were quite easy, because laws are not a particularly onerous subject. Criminal law isn't, anyway. And I should know, because, as you know, later took my LLB. Well, as I said, at one time there was nobody in the police service could pass the police duties educational rank for inspector, which I passed quite easily, and it was supposed to be so-called, it allowed me to entry into the into London University to take my degree in London University in later life. But I did so many things. I was commended by the magistrates for police duties for arresting a well-known thief. Another time, on a Christmas day in 1951, I rescued an old lady from the in 1951, Christmas Day.
We've got that, actually.
Have I mentioned that?
We have that early on.
We've mentioned it to you.
Yes.
I also won the highly commendation from the Home Office for the Queen's Police Prize Medal essay competition. I submitted an essay called Science and the Policeman. And if I say it myself, it was a good effort. For the day, it was a good effort. But anyway, it came around about third or fourth, because I got a highly commendation for that from the Home Office. But I later taught policemen, because I'd been on Scotswood Road for about 14 years, which is a very, very tough beat, and I did everything. You name it, I did it. Brought children into the world and everything. and I was assaulted several times. But I never. Then they, a chap called Tom Crystal, who was a super, he realised that I'd had instructional experience in the Navy. I was an instructor in the Navy, and transferred me into the training department, and there I stayed. But I never got promoted then, and I used to teach the young cadets police law, young recruits police law, police duties, and local duties, and all the things to worry about. But I never got further, and I was in charge, so I was a law unto myself, I suppose, in the end, because the super used to ask my advice, and so. But I never got promoted to inspector, ever.
Since then, you've got involved in comrades, old comrades.
Oh, yes, since then. Well, after leaving the service, I became a barrister's clerk. I was senior clerk to Chambers, who were equally astonished that I wasn't a higher rank. But I didn't want to become the richest man in the graveyard because I found it very stressful. So I applied for a job in London, the St. Thomas's Hospital, as the security officer in charge of all the security of all the hospitals in West Lambeth. That's Tootenbeck Hospital and everything. And to my astonishment, although I was up against a couple of chief superintendents, I got the job. And that's where I went to. That was my last. My last job was there.
And how did you get involved with some of the associations you're in?
Well, I joined the British Legion, but they formed a fellow called Fred Plenty. He was an able seaman, a good lad, who formed the George Cross Ireland Association, and I was interested. And I was only going to be a member until I found out that the secretary of this branch had fiddled the books to the tune of £10,000, and me being an ex-policeman wasn't going to stand for that, so I really did kick, and I contacted Lord Lewin and told him of my fears, etc., and eventually I went to the police and submitted a file against him. But because of international relationships with the Maltese, it wasn't proceeded with, which was, I don't mind that, but nonetheless we kicked it out, and I took over his place, and I've been, for the last 10 years, I've been the secretary chairman of the George of this branch, and we've put this beautiful stained glass window in the Church of St. Thomas the Martyr, which is a sight for all to see.
This is the
northeast of England and Scotland, yes. But it goes from the Humberside, it goes right down Yorkshire, includes Yorkshire and Humberside and Hull and all those places, right up to the Hebrides. So I've got quite a big branch, actually.
What would you say was the best thing you got out of being in the Navy?
The best thing I got out of the Navy? I think is what happens when you're 78.
Comradeship,
and also a sense of being in control. I had great confidence in myself. I wasn't frightened, and never was frightened of anybody. I would bollock a chief constable and a commander. It didn't worry me at all. In fact, on one occasion, I was in charge of an officer's potential officer's group in Chatham, and bollocked the backside off them. It didn't worry me at all. I was told to anyway. So that degree of confidence stayed with me and has with all my life. I'm not frightened of anybody.